Good evening. It's good to be here with you. And this evening's lesson that I have chosen to speak on is choices and consequences. Choices and their consequences. In this lesson, we're going to discuss choices and their consequences, and we're going to see that God gives us a free will choice. He gives us a free will choice. And then we choose our path, and no one else chooses it for us. No one else chooses our path. We choose our own path. I'm going to start out talking about the choice of Adam and Eve. The choice of Adam and Eve. And if you would, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start in chapter 2 and then end up in chapter 3 on this. Genesis chapter 2, and let's look at verses 16 and 17 to begin with. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Bible reads, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely.'" Verse 17, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." And now let's go on to chapter 3. And we're going to talk about chapter 3 for just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about chapter 3. And let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" In verse 4, "The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" And then verse 6, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Now, in the sense here, they made a choice. Both Adam and Eve made the choice to disobey. They were told simply what tree not to eat from. They made the choice. Now, in chapter 2, as we went back there in chapter 2, God was talking to man. God talked to man, and he told Adam which tree not to eat from. And then as we go in chapter 3, we can infer that Eve knows what tree not to eat from. She knows. So she had to have probably talked to Adam, and she knew. The main thing is that she knew which tree not to eat from. But the problem is, we know that Satan works in ways we don't even understand. He works on us. And right here, you know, he made it in verse 1 of chapter 3 there. He tells her, "You shall not eat from any tree of the garden." You know, in a question. He said it in a question. "You shall not eat from any tree of the garden." Well, you know, he makes us question our own judgment. Our own, when we know what to do is right, Satan works in those kinds of ways where he makes us question what we're doing. And we know what to do most of the time. We know what the right is to do, what the right thing to do is. So we know. But Satan works in many ways that we don't understand. But he, and then if we go on down to verse 4, you know, he's there again. "Serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. You surely will not die.'" And then in verse 6, the fruit was a delight to the eyes. A delight to the eyes. And then there she goes. That was the first sin. And she went ahead and ate and then gave to her husband. And we know that with Adam, He also made a choice himself. Adam made a choice for himself to eat from her. Now, he could have and should have asked her where this fruit came from. But he trusted her. And so many times, we don't ask as many questions as we should, even in our lives. But we see here, both of them made the wrong choice. Both of them made the wrong choice. And then, if we go on down to verse 12, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12, the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Whom you gave to me. It kind of looks like he's blaming God in this sense. But then again, Adam doesn't understand he made the choice himself. He did not take responsibility of what wrongdoing he did. He did not take responsibility. And then if we look down at verse 13 as well. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done? What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Never once there in those two verses did Adam or Eve own up to their responsibility. They blame shifted. It's easy to blame someone else for our wrongdoings. It's easy to fall into that, to blame someone else when it's our fault. You know, there's a phrase that I've heard and that we've probably all heard. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. I have a problem with that phrase. The devil doesn't make us do anything. The devil does not make us do anything. God gave us a free will choice to make the decisions that we make. Satan does not have that power over us. We have the power to choose right and wrong. But we see, the devil, he doesn't work that way. He does not make us do anything that we shouldn't do. He doesn't make us, we make those decisions. We make our own choices, and we need to take responsibility for the choices that we make, no matter what. No matter what. You know, Adam, we see that Adam blamed Eve. And we see that then we see little stair steps. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed Satan or the serpent. Eve blamed someone else for her choice. Well, there were consequences to their choice. There were consequences to their choice. The consequence was that man was sent out of the Garden of Eden. And if you would, turn to, we'll go to verse 17. Verse 17, we'll read 17 through 19 of chapter 3. 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it.' Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." Verse 18, "Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, and you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So both thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and your plants of the field. You know, thorns and thistles, we know that those aren't good things. We know that, and these were the consequences. And also we talk about Eve. Eve's, her pain would greatly be multiplied in her childbirth. Greatly multiplied, as in verse 16. "To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.'" But the will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. The next thing I want to talk about is the Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. And we see in chapter 4, we see that Abel... or I'm sorry, Cain became jealous. He became jealous of his brother's offering. And let's read verses 3 through 5. Chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, verse 4, Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. So Cain became very jealous. He became very angry. And we see this. Cain made this choice. He chose anger. He chose anger. And so many times we miss this because he has the same choice that we do today. We can act a certain way, but he chose to act in anger. He's angry. And then we know in verse 8, if we go down to verse 8, Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. So in other words, we see that Cain killed Abel basically out of anger. He acted out his anger. And then that was choice number two. That was choice number two that he had there. And he could have chosen not to kill his brother, but he did it out of anger. Choice number three. I believe Cain asked the wrong question in verse 9. In verse 9, the Bible reads, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" I believe this to be kind of a smart aleck question in a sense. You know, am I my brother's keeper? That is not the question he should have asked. He knew what he had done. He knew his guilt. I believe that he should have done what was right. But God knew. God knew what he had done. And the consequence was that Cain was marked. Cain was marked. You know, and the ground, if you would turn to, or go to verse 15. Verse 15, the Bible reads, "So the Lord said to Cain, said to him, 'Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold.' And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him." So, and then also the consequence, though, he was marked. And if we go back a few verses back in verse 11 and 12. Says, "No, or now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Verse 12, "When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth." So we see here that Cain made his choice. Cain made a choice, and it had its consequences. You know, Cain's jealousy drove him to make the wrong choice. It drove him to make the wrong choice. Now, if we turn over to Genesis chapter 6, and this is something I think about all the time. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It says here, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and then every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then verse 6. "The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." You know, I wonder about this so many times. You know, when we do wrong things, when we choose the wrong things to do, when we choose sin, is he still grieved in his heart? I believe so. I believe it hurts God. It does. It hurts God. And so many times we fall short. We forget to think before we act and do. But we see that, you know, there's still things that go on today there's evil that still goes on today. It's still prevalent today. There are things that are out there, and we know that they are out there. And we have the choice to change those thoughts, change our ways, change the way we think, change the way we act. We can have a great impact, but we can have a poor impact as well. We want to have a good impact on the world. Let's talk about Noah. Let's talk about Noah. You know, Noah's choice. Noah, in chapter 6 of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Well, Noah built the ark, as we know. He built the ark. And as I've mentioned before, Noah built the ark and the dimensions of the ark and how it was supposed to be built. He did it the way it was supposed to be built. He put his faith in God. He put his faith in God. But he made a choice. He made the right choice. He chose to do and follow God, and follow God's will. But Noah built that ark, and 8 souls were saved. Him and his wife, his 3 sons and their wives. Now, they made the right choice. They chose to do what was right. But we don't think about the part where, as he was building this ark, how many passed by, saw this ark. It had to be an amazing sight. Had to be an amazing sight. How many did not heed the warnings? Or how many were found outside of the ark? They made a choice as well. They chose not to get on the ark. In other words, they were lost in the flood. But Noah made the choice. And his consequence was by his obeying God's commands, Noah and his family were saved. He made the right choice. Now let's go to David and Bathsheba's choice. David and Bathsheba, if you would, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. and let's look at verse 2. Now when the evening came, David rose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. You know, back in Genesis chapter 3, I believe, you know, we talk about Eve, how it was a delight to the eyes. The fruit was a delight to the eyes. Here we go again in chapter 11, verse 2 of 2 Samuel. You know, David saw. He had to see with his eyes. He saw Bathsheba bathing. And this here, he saw Bathsheba bathing. And this here is lust. He gave in to lust. He looked at another man's wife. But then again, we see that he made a choice to look. He made a choice to look at her. He made that choice. And he chose to lust after her and pursue her. These are choices that he made. You know, his lust caused him to pursue her. You know, bad choices just kept piling up. But David, and then we see that David lay with her. In verse 4, David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. When she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. But he lay with her, knowing that she had a husband. But his lust caused him to pursue her. He gave into that lust. But David found a way for Uriah to be in the front line of battle, to be killed. And that, again, is a choice that he made, to get what he wanted. So many times we try to do it our way to get what we want. We need to do it God's way. We need to do things God's way and not our way. But his choices had consequences. In 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And let's look at verse 14. However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, The child also that is born to you shall surely die. Shall surely die. And so his and Bathsheba's firstborn would die. And then we read on in verse 15 there. So Nathan went to his house. Then the Lord struck the child that Uriah's widow bore to David, so that he was very sick. And then David therefore inquired of God for the child. And David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground. And then verse 17, the elders of his household stood beside him in order to raise him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat food with them. But later on, the child dies. The child dies, and this was because of what was done. Also, you know, excuse me, we know that the child was struck with sickness. You know, David should have admitted his wrong. David did not lose his life, due to sin, but he admitted his wrongdoing. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, let's look at verses 12 and 13. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 12 and 13. The Bible reads, "Indeed, you do it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun." So we see there that, you know, he thought he did it in secret. He thought he did it in secret, but God knows. God knows. But he did admit his wrongdoing. And then let's talk about Joshua's choice. You know, in Joshua 24:15, he chose to serve the Lord. And that is what our choice should be today, is to serve the Lord. That is the attitude that we need to have. We need to serve the Lord. And then we think about Moses. We think about Moses and his choice. He chose to listen to the people. Moses chose to listen to the people and not listen to God. But later on, when he found out that he was going to miss out, and that was his consequence. His consequence was not being able to cross over. But that he was still an advocate to help people get across. He still helped others, even though he was going to miss out. But we know, you know, how he did help others cross by his attitude toward God, and knowing God keeps all his promises. God does keep all his promises. What about our choices today? Our choices that we make have consequences as well. If we choose not to obey God's word, then hell awaits us. And that's scary, because if we do not do God's will, hell is what awaits us. We have to obey all of God's word. We have to obey all of it, not just parts of it. We definitely could put more thought in our choices that we make. We need to put more thought in the choices that we make. So many times we make quick decisions without thought, and we need to think things out thoroughly so we can make sure we're doing the right things that we need to be doing. And also, we need to stop blaming others for our wrong choices and start taking responsibility for what we do. We need to start taking responsibility for the choices that we make, right or wrong. The lesson's yours tonight. Hopefully I've said something that has touched your heart. If you've never become a child of God, never put Christ on in baptism, or if you have put Christ on in baptism and are a Christian and have faltered in your life and need prayers of the church, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we sing the invitation.